You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts.
This is the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and we are the Roto Experts! Alongside the fantasy executive Corey Parson, Wall Street Matt Modica, I am Greg Sussman with you on an aftermath of a Monday. You have made it through hellfire and brimstone, and here you are on the precipice of the playoffs. We're out. That sucks. But we're here to help you win chips. And that's what we're going to do over the next 3 weeks here on the Roto Experts. Corey, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Sussman. How you doing?
Feeling good.
Getting ready for the fantasy football playoffs. We're getting to that time of year, the holidays, fantasy football playoffs. So was able to put some about four teams inside the playoffs. So, you know, not the percentage.
Four out of what?
4 out of 11 redrafts.
All right.
I wanted more than that.
But how many of the four do you feel has a legit shot to win it all?
Three of them.
Three out of four.
Yeah.
All right.
I feel good about that.
You win those, it'll be a good season.
Yeah, well, no, it will be. No, we're going to end up on the positive side.
All right, there you go.
By hook or crook. If we got to go to somebody's house and turn their electricity off so they can't set their lineup, we'll be moving forward.
Win is win. It doesn't matter. They have phones these days. So yep. Wall Street Matt Modica, you were the one that was incredibly nervous going into tonight. It's all been about nerves. You come here with a bright smile on your face today.
Yeah, no, I won the prime time, my solo prime. You got the head-to-head and the most points. Think I'm taking 3 out of 4 teams into the dance. Glory to God.
Will you also be in the positives now?
Yes, I am in the positive and still with, you know.
More positivity to come.
Yes, a lot more positivity. I got some best balls in these draft champions that are doing really well.
That's awesome.
Still 3 more weeks.
What's crazy about that is you do so many leagues, and to sit here on a week 13 Monday, an aftermath Monday, to sit here and be like, all right, I'm in the positives. I have a massive sigh of relief as well.
Oh, yeah, no. It's in my Staten Island League. That's our team once again got high score. We got the best record, the most points in that. And that's a nice
call. Cohen is still complaining.
Oh, yeah, no. You should have never cut Cameron Brate. Yeah. You know, he wants to cut everybody after 1 week. But, hey, you know, it's all good. I'm happy. I told him, look, let's take the week off. You know,
it's rest up, go on a little vacation maybe. You know, I'm surprised if you don't have a week off. Like, if you had a week off in all your leagues, you should go on vacation. You'd be like, I'm done. I'm sitting on a beach. I'm sipping my Coronas and I'm out of here.
Yeah, I think we got to pick a place. I'm going to take the Roto Experts lunch will be on me. Pick a steakhouse, you know. So
we're there. So I got to wear my tie for that one.
We do have to get a little dressed up for that.
I'm certainly down. There you go. All right. I said before that Carolina-New Orleans arguably the game of the day yesterday, but there were two games we were looking forward to in the NFC. That one and Atlanta and Minnesota. Well, as much as Tom Brady let you down yesterday, so did Matt Ryan, so did Julio Jones. Let's talk about those players, the return of Devontae Freeman, and why Case Keenum just keeps on chugging along. That is coming your way when we return here on the Roto Experts.
The award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network is your free fantasy source 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. You can catch this show and many others live on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app, iHeartRadio, or TuneIn Radio. Want to listen on your computer at work? Go to fntsy.com/radio or check us out on YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page, where you can ask questions, discuss topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your questions on the air. The number is 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 days a year fantasy sports network of its kind without a subscription. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your fantasy source.
The bomb.
Matt, you said at the beginning of the season that your team, your pick to win the Super Bowl, was the Minnesota Vikings. They lose their quarterback, basically, after week one. They lose their running back after, like, week three. And here they are, on pace to have home field advantage through the Super Bowl. 10-2, currently the number one seed in the NFC. And remember, the Super Bowl goes through Minnesota. Ziggy Wilf has to be licking his chops right now.
Yeah, no, it's going to be interesting. They have, you know, the going at Carolina this week.
So tough game.
That's a tough game.
Absolutely.
And they finish out with Cincinnati at home, at Green Bay, which could be an Aaron Rodgers Green Bay. So that's, you know, always a good matchup between those two teams. And end it with Chicago in Minnesota. So, you know, it's going
to
be...
That game, by the way, Chicago at home, that might be the return of Teddy Bridgewater, that game, to be perfectly honest with you.
If they pull what the Bills did back in the day, the Doug Flutie thing...
Well, I don't mean by that. I mean, things would be all locked up by then. And you might just...
Yeah, but I'm saying, the Bills had it all locked up, and they let Rob Johnson quarterback against a terrible coach
right.
team, and he had a great day.
And then the controversy.
The owner stepped in and was, let's play Rob Johnson.
I didn't realize that was the story. Oh,
yeah,
no,
I will never forget that.
Case Keenum on Sunday, 25 of 30. He only missed five passes all day, 227 yards, two touchdowns. The big number is no interceptions on the day. They were led by Adam Thielen. Listen, the wide receivers didn't do all that much yesterday. This is like the least amount of points Thielen has put up in weeks.
It was a dream matchup for Stephon Diggs. He started
and
the
Adam
game.
And Adam Thielen.
Yeah, no, and Thielen as well. But, I mean, Thielen has been so great and stuff, and Diggs has been coming back from this injury, and we saw the snaps getting there, and he looked healthy. Mm-hmm. That's what you need. You need a healthy Stephon Diggs. No Trufant. I mean, we have Ray Wilson on him. That was I couldn't have been more excited. And like I said, the first catch, 14 yards, I was like, yes, this is going to be can you Diggs it day, and yeah. all that stuff. And
nothing.
2 for 32 for Stephon Diggs, 4 for 51 for Adam Thielen. Kyle Rudolph, at least Corey got the touchdown, 4 for 36 with the touch.
Yeah, Kyle Rudolph the past couple of weeks been playing well. He has a good rapport with Keenum, had the same rapport with Bradford. Came down a little bit this year, but you gotta like what Kyle Rudolph does. You can safely start him weeks 14, 15, and 16.
So I think when it comes to Kyle Rudolph, I think they needed to have just a little more trust in Case Keenum because they were leaving Rudolph on the line of block. When they gained more trust in Keenum, Rudolph picked it up a bit.
No, but yes, you are right about that, but it's also this offensive line has been much improved.
Absolutely.
They need to leave him in. And that's been, look, quarterbacks need a tight end. You look at all these guys, you have it. And Rudolph is a really good tight end.
Yep.
He can score touchdowns. We've seen this in the past. He's been injured. You know, he's had an injury-laden kind of career where we've always expected more, and then he popped last year. So going down the stretch, if you have Kyle Rudolph, you got to feel confident.
I totally agree. Corey's right. You can start him in your fantasy playoffs. Let's get to the running game for a moment because, Matt, you've been pretty adamant that ultimately you're going to take Jerry McKinnon, and maybe you rated him a little too highly a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, you always wanted Jerick McKinnon because of the floor of the passing game. As good as Latavius Murray has been, this is kind of what you get, right? You get 76 yards rushing when you don't get a touchdown. You got 3 for 21 in the passing game. So ultimately, you wound up with 12 PPR points, which is fine. And this running game in general has been fine. But what McKinnon could do is what he did. 24 yards on the ground, which isn't so good. But he did chip in with 28 yards in the passing game, 5 receptions, a touchdown in his return to Atlanta. He's an Atlanta kid. That's kind of the floor that you get with Jerick McKinnon.
Yeah, no, I really like McKinnon a lot. But I got to give a shout out to Latavius Murray. He's played really well.
He's had a great season.
Yeah, and he looks good running, too. He looks good, and he had a really... Look, they have this is another team. When you have two guys, it's all about touches. It doesn't matter who starts and stuff like that. Yes, one guy's going to be the goal line back. One guy's going to catch the passes. But if you have either one of these two, I don't see how you're not starting them right now.
No, they both players go inside starting lineups. And then the thing, this was Dalvin Cook's job all to himself.
Yes,
so.
It was.
You see that this offense has some real potential moving forward, and I like Cook as a first-round draft pick next year.
I like Dalvin Cook, too. I don't know if he's going to be a first-round draft pick.
It all depends on health.
It depends on a lot of other things. We'll worry about that in the coming weeks.
Yeah.
But on the other side of things, for Atlanta, Matt Ryan doesn't get sacked, doesn't turn the ball over.
Not like Super Bowl Sunday.
Doesn't throw a touchdown either.
Yeah, like Super Bowl Sunday.
A couple touchdowns. 173 yards passing. and that's it. Julio Jones, 2-for-24. Mohamed Sanu, 3-for-43.
Yeah, they brought it to him. They brought that Vikings defense down there, and they sat on him. You could have saw this one coming right here. Now you expect Julio to put up better numbers than that. But what did Xavier Rhodes do to Antonio Brown? 3-for-45?
What did Marvin Jones do to Xavier Rhodes?
I feel what you're saying, but he's not going to have back-to-back duds.
I understand.
You would have figured that, you know, maybe Sanu got more. It was, I don't know. You had to expect at least more than 8 points.
One thing that we do, that we can say about the Falcons and their backfield, when Freeman and Coleman are both healthy, Coleman is the pass catcher and Freeman is the runner.
Correct.
How crazy.
Like, correct. Like, that's just what it
Coleman
is.
Coleman couldn't catch passes while he was like the...
They used Tarion Ward as the pass catcher when Freeman was out. I don't know why they do it that way. It's interesting why they do it. I guess they don't want their primary runner catching balls.
Freeman looked really good on the ground in his return. 12 carries for 74 yards. Running really, really hard. Tevin Coleman, 8-for-22. But we give the pass catching, just one catch for Devontae Freeman, 3 of them for Tevin Coleman.
That's how they run it. That's what you can clearly see that right now. That Freeman, as long as he's the lead dog, he's not going to be catching passes. That's going to be Coleman's gig.
Ultimately,
Me and Coleman is playable in the PPR.
Game was a disappointment. I thought it was a shootout.
Was extremely frustrating, though. And I get how good Xavier Rhodes is, but Julio Jones is no slouch. Julio Jones, we've said multiple times, maybe the best pound for pound wide receiver in the NFL. Maybe he's not, but maybe you can't get two catches. You can't do that and expect to win. I'm sorry. That's a horrible job by Steve Sarkisian again. That's a horrible job by Matt Ryan again. I am sick of this.
I mean, what do you do with Sarkisian? Do you give him that year two like with Shanahan when things... I mean, it's been really... It's really disappointing.
I think you have to.
And I think the point that Corey made, you know, if you see a team change offensive coordinators, you got to be a little hesitant.
100%.
On the players.
100%. Of course. Listen, unless Sean McVay is the offensive coordinator, I'm hesitant.
And honestly, yesterday, Sean McVay, I thought he's done a wonderful job, right? Coach of the year, probably. But I don't like the way they won the game, by what, 32-16 or something like that. Todd Gurley wasn't used enough, in my opinion.
Todd Gurley was awesome yesterday.
He was, but they had other. They should have put up like 50 points or more.
Sean McVay, I'm
knocking him on a game that he won. I'm just saying.
A game that he won, you're knocking Todd Gurley in a game he put up 150 plus total yards.
I understand. And it should have even been more. They had third and ones and stuff that they won. I mean, from watching that game, and I know he had the points, he had the yardage and stuff, but it should have been even more. And how about this? I got to say this. My boy Sammy Watkins, what? Four touchdowns
last five games. That's right. Sammy Watkins, 3-for-38.
One catch.
Touchdown. 10 points, buddy.
It was 3 catches for 38 and a touchdown. Ultimately, they rushed to the line. Sammy was like in the slot, and he just went across the formation, scoring that touchdown. Matt's right. Four of his last five games, a touchdown for Sammy Watkins. Sean McVay basically announced late last week Robert Woods will not return this week. It'll be the week after against Seattle in a monster game to win the NFC West in a couple of weeks. So you have the Rams and Seattle. Robert Woods will return next week. But next week, more Sammy Watkins and more Cooper Kupp. Watkins, I gave you the line already. Cooper Kupp, 5 catches for 68 yards there. But the leader was Todd Gurley. 6-for-84 in the passing game. 19-for-74 on the ground, Corey.
Yep. Last year's trash. Todd Gurley got it done.
Top five pick next year.
People that went back in on Todd Gurley and DeAndre Hopkins, their teams are still playing this weekend.
That's absolutely true.
For my top three MVPs, Brady, Wilson, and Gurley are my top.
No Wentz for you.
Wentz is 4.
Okay. All right. You know, in my league, the team that is in first place, like finish 11-2 with a bye, Gurley, Hopkins, Ingram.
There you go right there. Ingram, I was trying to make trades for Ingram all throughout the middle of the season. Nobody was coming off of Melvin Ingram. Mark Ingram.
You know what? I even skipped going. It went Gurley, Gronk.
Yeah.
We killed this team, by the way. This is hometown Heller. Gurley, Gronk, Hopkins, you're up to Allen Robinson, Mark Ingram. He's traded up for Adam Thielen in the draft. I mean, he crushed it.
Good job.
He crushed it.
That's not Chris Hogan, is it? That's
not your man. No. Okay. I beat him yesterday.
Good.
But he's not making the playoffs.
Good.
Yeah, good. Good! Yesterday, for Arizona, it was crazy because, like, without Adrian Peterson, you thought this team would struggle on the ground. They didn't. They were finding room between that left tackle and left guard all afternoon yesterday. Kerwin Williams finishes with 97 yards on the ground. that was it. They couldn't really get much done. And Blaine Gabbert had defenders in his face all day, threw a couple of picks. Larry Fitzgerald, 10 for 98 and a touchdown. And he's just had, he's had an awesome year. And you know what's been cool, Matt? He hasn't slowed down.
No, he hasn't. I was wrong on Fitzgerald. I mean, I had him in a couple of leagues, but I traded him to Jake. That trade wound up being a disaster. It looked good early on, but, you know, Fitzgerald, I give the old man props. I wish he was going somewhere else than Arizona next year, though.
82, 878, and 5 on the year. Unbelievable year for Larry Fitzgerald. And listen, he's on pace for over 100 and 1,000 again.
Again. Getting it done. Amazing. Professional Hall of Famer.
Ricky Seals-Jones, 244.
The legend.
He's still got 6.
We'll talk more about him when we come back. I'm not done with this yet.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Before we went to break, we were chatting about my man, Ricky Seals-Jones.
The legend.
So listen, I was fighting for seating yesterday, and I watched a lot of this game. It's because it was on, really. It was one of the red zone shows. I'm at their mercy.
Yeah.
And do you know how many snaps in this? Do you have that yet? How many snaps
I don't think
he played
available yet?
Okay. Because Ricky Seals-Jones yesterday only caught 2 passes for 44 yards. He was targeted officially 5 times. But he was involved. Like, I don't know what that line says, but they threw him an opportunity at a touchdown where, you know, one more step, he's got a touchdown. Whenever he was out there, and it felt like he was out there a lot, he was very involved in his offense. I mean, this was Larry Fitzgerald, it was Ricky Seals-Jones, and it was J.J. Nelson, and that was it. And I was like, okay, I can take that for my tight end. I felt good about starting him. And listen, in the playoffs, next week, against Tennessee, where we saw what Steven Alexander did, I'm going to do it again.
Yeah, no, yeah, I'm rolling him out too. Like you said, he was involved. We talked earlier about he wasn't getting the snaps, but the production was there. It's Blaine Gabbert. It's a third-string quarterback. They seem to have a chemistry. So Tennessee at Washington and the Giants.
How are you not starting? It's good matchups. Yeah. Seals-Jones need to be owned going into the playoffs. Seals-Jones, the legend.
Of Ricky Seals-Jones. I said Steven Alexander. I met Steven Anderson for Houston, who, out of nowhere, speaking of tight ends, I have to ask about him. Steven Anderson had 12 targets in the Houston's loss to Tennessee 24-13. DeAndre Hopkins led the way. He had 14 targets, 8 catches for 80 yards, and a touchdown that was called back. But Steven Anderson, Corey, 5-for-79, targeted 12 times. I understand flukiness, but this guy was just targeting 12 times.
Yeah,
it's very hard to ignore.
No, it is hard to ignore. I still think it's fluky, though. I think it'd be very difficult to go back to that with Tom Savage.
The only reason I really know of Steven Anderson, and I might have him on like one or two draft champion teams, like the 34th round, was Jason Braddock spoke about him when we had him on early in the season. He said Steven Anderson, so that's why.
Is there anything here that I can concern myself for the playoffs?
I don't know yet. I mean, it's one game, of course. It could be a fluky kind of thing, but, I mean, Hopkins is going to get his 16 targets.
Hopkins is going to get 15 targets and 10 catches, 100 yards.
Will Fuller coming back? I mean, is this the week Will Fuller comes back? That's a question I'd have to ask.
Okay. You know. All right. So you kind of wait-and-see approach when it comes to Steven Anderson. Lamar Miller, just 15 for 56 yesterday, caught 4 passes for 38, so was okay with you in the PPR, but I felt like on the goal line, he wasn't the guy that was in there.
So, wait, he had 15 for 56 and what, 4 for 38?
Then 4 for 38, that's okay.
Yeah, no.
You'll take in the PPR.
No, look, Lamar Miller was a guy that I really wanted to know part of this year, but he's been consistent, we'll say that.
Yeah, he's been fine. Yeah, Lamar, he's played every game.
Especially where he dropped late in draft.
Yeah,
if you are a Lamar Miller owner, which I would never be, you should be pretty satisfied with his production.
I'm thrilled
thrilled with it. Are you kidding me? I feel like I won. I feel like I won it all. So that's what Lamar Miller did. On the goal line, Alfred Blue was out there. Andre Ellington was out there. It's very strange coaching for Bill O'Brien, right. But I guess that's the norm. We talked in hour number one about Kareem Hunt and how he let you down. He went out a little bit. Are you going to continue to go back to this stupid Corey Davis well? Or is it? Or is
no, it's
dried
Corey Davis. It's over.
Well,
it's over. It's over. I'm disgusted over. With this disgusting. Son of a gun. It's done. Put him on your bench. Cut him. I don't care. I'm over.
And
I'm through with it.
You know, the
held
other
with
guy,
this guy for 13 damn weeks. This is what he does to me.
13 weeks we held on to him.
And the other guy you're probably not going to play the rest of the season is Josh Doctson. I mean, unless you really have to.
Doctson could score, though.
He could score, but he's the guy. Every week, look, I like the talent. I'm going to really be on him next year, I think. But he's got Casey Hayward next week, Patrick Peterson the following week. Denver, I'm not as much as concerned with.
If you need to start Josh Doctson, I think you can, right?
But you're hoping.
Ideally not.
He gets, what, 2 catches a week?
For touchdowns, right.
He's going to maybe get that 1 touchdown opportunity. It's all touchdown dependent.
Agreed.
He's got to get the touchdown, or you probably. And even with the touchdown, it's probably, you know, 10, 12 points.
Yes, but that's certainly more than Corey Davis is giving you. 2 catches, 12 yards yesterday against the best matchup you could possibly have.
Are you running out Marcus? Is anybody going to run out Marcus Mariota again? I don't care what the hell the matchup is.
Mariota, 150 yards passing, a touchdown through the air and on the ground yesterday. Again, best matchup you could have had, 3 for 150 yards. I get it. They won. I get it. They're 8-4.
He had a rushing touchdown.
This is not the offense we thought it would be. No. It's not. It's not. But see, we should have saw this earlier, like week 8, when this son of a gun was still hurt.
Yeah.
And it's not, it should have been effing around with him then.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. DeMarco Murray and Derrick Henry had the same amount of carries yesterday, 11 each. Now, Murray, if you before the last play of the game, you would have looked at Murray and you would have been like, all right, you had a little bit of a better day than Derrick Henry, 11 for 66. And then Derrick Henry took a 75-yard touchdown to the house. 109 on 11 carries with Derrick Henry. What do you make of this?
Here's with Derrick Henry. This is why you probably... I mean, if I got to start either of the two, it's probably going to be Derrick Henry, and for this reason. He's become the fourth quarterback. So if you're beating down that team...
Fourth quarter running back, not fourth quarterback.
Oh, yeah, record. Sorry about that. But if you're beating down the opposing defensive line, and in someone of his size and speed... In that fourth quarter, and we saw it yesterday. We saw it on Monday Night Football a few weeks back versus the Colts, where he got that late touchdown run. It's really a tough spot to be in. And early on, in the glimpses that I saw of this game, I really didn't watch much of it, to be honest with you. DeMarco Murray looked kind of pretty good. I was like, wow.
He was running well.
I was like scared because I'm like, I started Burkhead over him. I'm like, this guy's going to put have a 3 touchdown day.
We said the only person.
You just knew that was going to happen, right?
We said the only wide receiver or pass catcher you could count on in Tennessee was Delanie Walker. It held true.
Oh, that's the truth.
5 for 63 and a touchdown.
And when Rashard Matthews get back, I think you can trust and count on him.
I agree
bit.
With that.
Yeah,
but other than that, you don't fool.
I think you should cut Corey Davis. You're not tempted to play Corey Davis.
The pit of misery.
I mean, worst case, he's on your bench. If nobody, but yeah, I'm with you. Can cut him, no problem.
Yeah, I mean, this is what we were wrong on.
I do hope you have a better option than Josh Doctson.
I hope so too. I hope so too.
I mean, at this point, who's not a better option?
Than Corey Davis?
Yeah.
But I'm saying Josh Doctson. I don't think he's an automatic to go
okay. with. Okay. But one thing about Doctson is they're going to take shots at Doctson in the end zone. So Doctson could very well have a touchdown. Corey Davis might not have...
Might not catch pass.
It's donuts coming for Corey Davis.
Speaking of donuts, that brings me to Cleveland, where it was a very exciting day.
Donuts. Cleveland. It's funny.
Thank you. It's good, right?
It is good.
Thank you. I worked hard on that. Speaking of donuts, we moved to Cleveland, where they have a donut on the left side of the left column.
Yeah.
Zero wins and 12 losses for poor Hugh, the next coach of Cincinnati Bengals. And I don't know how they're going to sell that. Dude won one game in 2 years, but they're going to sell it.
No, they're going to be like, we bring him in here because he's cheap.
Yeah, exactly. And it was a return of Josh Gordon, who...
Uh-oh.
Listen, first play of the game, catches a pass, and he was relatively electrifying yesterday. 4 for 85 on 11 targets. And when I talked about donuts, the other side, their wide receiver one, Corey Coleman, donut. Now, he was targeted one time on a play that was a penalty, so it didn't officially count. Other than that, was not targeted at all yesterday, as it was clear that he was shut down by Casey Hayward and co. In Los Angeles, and they made it a point, Corey, to get the ball to Josh Gordon.
Nah, they made it a point to get to Josh Gordon 11 targets.
He looked great.
Come out there. right on the first play of the game. You see the athletic ability going up against one of the best young defenders in the NFL. It's a thing. He's a top 24 wide receiver.
He was open easily for touchdowns.
Yeah.
And Kaiser didn't get it.
Easily. I mean, you see how he looks? It's crazy that this dude, 3 years later, it still looks like this.
I'm shocked.
He looks like the best player on the field.
He did.
I'm curious to see what the Browns do after the season ends, what they do with Josh Gordon. That's going to be the
question. Yeah, you know what? If he can keep his head on straight and keep himself sober. I mean, he looked... I was shocked with how good he looked yesterday. He was energized. He was popping up. He wasn't the mopey Josh Gordon we had seen previously. He was awesome.
Just think about it. Next season, you got Josh Gordon, Corey Coleman, David Njoku. That's...
Deshaun Kaiser.
Saquon Barkley?
I mean... I think you've got to move on from Kaiser.
Who's going to be the coach? Sean McVay?
No, they can't do
just
that.
Just kidding. They need their own Sean McVay is what they need.
They should bring in McAdoo.
If you could just bring in someone there with a offensive mind that's better than Hughes, because it's just not good anymore.
But see, that's what they got to do. Like the Rams, look what the Rams did. They went and got a young offensive mind who's talented.
Yeah.
And how this offense has blossomed, how they got it to their best players and stuff like that. They drafted a guy like Cooper Kupp, who was perfect for this young quarterback. Yeah.
I don't know who that young offensive mind is. I don't think it's Jim Bob Cooter.
Likely not.
It's not certainly not Frank Wright and Reich in Philly, you know.
No, but I mean, I would have to think this out and think it through. But I'd look at the pros. I'd look at...
Steve Sarkisian's available.
I would look at college, but not like a gimmicky kind of guy. You don't want any of these guys. Like Chip Kelly going to UCLA, I'm ecstatic as you.
Yeah, of course.
And his game could play for college. Mm-hmm. But that offense was never going to work in the NFL.
Josh Gordon, as I said, 4 for 85. And David Njoku looked really good yesterday. 4 for 74 in a touchdown. He was targeted the second most on the team behind Gordon.
So tough to trust him, knowing your lineup.
You know what? I don't think so. Look, it's not like a guarantee because it is the Browns and it's Kaiser throwing. But the snaps have gone up consistently. He's getting praised for his run blocking. And this guy, when he was drafted, he is raw. What is he, 20 years old?
Yeah.
I mean, the talent,
20,
hasn't
21.
Even scratched the surface here.
Would you rather play David Njoku next week or RSJ?
Give me the legend.
That's going to be a tough one. I might go with Njoku. He's got, what, Green Bay? And he's got Washington. Or who do they have? Who does...
Arizona is Tennessee.
It's a good match. That's something I have to ponder.
Okay, fair enough. Listen, it's Monday. On the other side, we told you to pick up Philip Rivers because that second half of the year is going to be awesome. 344-1 yesterday for Philip Rivers, who has the most consecutive starts of any quarterback in the NFL now. Keenan Allen, 10 catches for 105 yards on the day and a touchdown. 3 consecutive games of 10-plus catches, 100-plus yards, and a touchdown for the man, Keenan Allen. We'll continue the Los Angeles Charger discussion and continue going around the NFL. This is the Roto Experts Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
If you're playing daily fantasy basketball on DraftKings or FanDuel this NBA season, you need to sign up for Daily Roto. Built by a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. Better yet, you can save 10% off using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium to learn more about their product.
With you, Roto Experts here. And if you think of giving up DFS a try, Fantasy Factor is the perfect daily fantasy site for the casual recreational player. Flatter prize pool, smaller field, single entry contest only. Fantasy Factor runs NFL and NBA free rolls each and every week. It's free to enter, so sign up today at www.fantasyfactor.com. Now, we're talking about the Chargers, my man Keenan Allen, 10 for 105 at a touchdown. Hunter Henry, your boy, 7 for 81. When they finally just started letting him loose, Matt, they let him loose.
Hunter Henry's a hell of a tight end. I mean, he's one of the top guys in the league. He was kind of pigeonholed for a little while there, the whole Gates thing. Then there was games early on in the season where they kept him in to block. But this guy is blossoming right before our eyes, and next season people are going to be paying up for Hunter Henry.
I think so, too. I think Hunter Henry is one of the guys you want next year.
Yeah, I can see that. Hunter Henry becomes more of a thing.
Scott will be paying for lunch this year, but next year people will be paying.
Melvin Gordon yesterday. Gordon finishes 19 for 77, rushing the ball, 4 for 29. Corey, good thing you didn't start Austin Ekeler.
No, it's a good thing I didn't.
Although, did he have more points than Kareem Hunt?
He may have, though.
I believe not. That's not true.
That's fake news. It's fake news? What, are you sure?
I started Austin Ekeler in the league.
Just wanted to make sure.
Not over Kareem Hunt, did you?
No, Kareem Hunt.
Yeah, no.
I just wanted to make sure. There you go. So Melvin Gordon, how have you felt about his season, Matt?
Lovely.
Overall,
love it.
Love it. Love it. Corey, you love it.
Love it. Love it. The what he the goal line ability and the pass catching ability.
You're cool.
It makes it even when he has the weeks where Ekeler outscores him.
Yep.
On those fluky weeks and stuff like that, still Melvin Gordon owners are playing in week 14.
Yeah, I mean, the last six games, dating back from week 7, he's running back number 17. You know, he's a first-round pick, borderline, early second. But just the volume there. This team's matchups coming up. They got Oakland. I know they got Kansas City. And nobody's scared of Denver anymore.
There you go. So the matchups look okay. We talk about the legends, right? The legends of RSJ, the legends of Josh Gordon. Let's get into the legend of Jimmy G a bit, who in his first start with the San Francisco 49ers leads him to a victory in Chicago, 15-14. A barn murder, folks. Garoppolo throws for 293, his first interception as a starting quarterback yesterday. Does not throw a touchdown, but does lead the team to 5 field goals in the Robbie Gold
Bowl.
Revenge game.
The Robbie Gold Bowl.
Is Marquise Goodwin, Matt, a thing in the playoffs?
Yeah, I mean,
no, yes. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Everyone chime in, sure.
No, yeah, he has to be. He's the number one wide receiver on this team. It's him and Carlos Hyde. For some reason, Matt Brady got involved yesterday.
Matt Brady was very much involved yesterday. Marquise Goodwin, Corey, you said yes immediately.
Yeah, I think Marquise Goodwin is going to be a thing. What you wanted to see from Jimmy G was to see if there was a receiver that he immediately latched on to. It looked like that guy's going to be good one.
Well, there's two. Marquise Goodwin was 1, 8 for 99 yesterday, catching all 8 of his targets, which is rare for Marquise Goodwin. And then Trent Taylor yesterday, 6 catches for 92 yards for him. That may be something to watch also in the PPR. I know people have kind of stashed Trent Taylor on their bench a little bit, but he's also one of those wide receivers that may have formed a connection with Jimmy Garoppolo. And Carlos Hyde, because of that, may have taken a step back in the passing game, as I kind of alluded to last week.
Still got a lot of targets though, Hyde, this week.
5 targets, 3 catches for just 12 yards.
That's not the 13 he had the week before, but that's still good for a running back.
It's still fine for a running back, I agree, but it's a lot different with C.J. Beathard throwing the ball and checking down to Jimmy Garoppolo, who could do a little bit more.
Understood.
What you're going to hope for with Hyde, I think, going forward, is this offense can move the ball better, and he gets goal line opportunities.
Yep. Yeah. Carlos Hyde, carried the ball 17 times. He had 54 yards. Matt Breida was involved. 12 carries, 45 yards for Matt Breida on the ground. On the other side for Chicago, Jordan Howard, 13 carries for 38 yards. And one catch, he lost 5 yards.
Mm-hmm.
So that wasn't very good. Chicago, not very good. They also need Sean McVay to coach their team.
Yeah, yep. They got to get the hell. I mean, John Fox needs to get the hell out of there.
Yeah, they need to bring in somebody fresh.
Did you guys see the report that Jeff Fisher is looking to get back in?
Yeah, I saw that. To do what? To ruin?
To become the losingest coach of all time? I think now he's just tied. I think he's one more loss.
If the Browns hire Jeff Fisher,
oh, that'd be amazing. Or the Bengals. I can see the Bengals doing that.
I can see that too. Yeah,
I can see the Bengals doing that
because he doesn't want that much money.
He does. Yeah, exactly.
Well, he doesn't need it because the Rams gave him that extension and had to buy it out.
Right.
Stupid extension.
He didn't work for free.
Stan Kroenke has so much money; it doesn't really matter. But yeah, Jeff Fisher, the next coach of the Cincinnati Bengals, or the Cleveland Browns, or the Chicago Bears. Do you think, for real, do you think Jeff Fisher will be back next year?
If anybody hired Jeff Fisher, something is truly wrong.
The NFL recycles these coaches. I didn't think Rex Ryan was going to get a shot, and the Bills hired him.
They recycle mediocrity. Mm-hmm. And Jeff Fisher hasn't even been mediocre. That guy's
he was
a
good
dark
once
cloud.
Upon a time, like years ago.
Not for today's NFL.
Yeah, no, he's like the dinosaur in today's NFL.
Do you think he has another shot?
Yeah.
I think there's a team stupid enough to do it.
There's team stuff enough to, stupid enough to do it, then you're stupid enough to win a free pair of skicks, because that was your Monday moment. Jeff Fisher will be back
Jeff Fisher, stupid enough to do it. That should be his.
There it is.
That should be his motto.
There it is. That's the clip, ladies and gentlemen. I want you to tell Jake Seeley in the 4 p.m. hour today of On Target, Jeff Fisher, stupid enough to do it.
Stupid enough to do it.
There you go. That's a Monday moment. Make sure you listen. With a free pair of Skicks live on Target this afternoon. Jake Seeley will announce it. And make sure you tell him, Jeff Fisher, stupid enough to do it. If you want to win, that's your Monday moment. Continuing on, Jacksonville and Blake Bortles gets the job done against Indy yesterday. A 30-10 victory for the Jags. Blake throws for 302, also rushes for 27.
It's called taking advantage of the opponent, and he had a really good matchup. I mean, there's no way I was starting Bortles week 13, but he got it done. Marquise Lee is just the targets he sees week in, week out. And I know the only time he didn't was against Arizona with Patrick Peterson. That's understandable, but he's had a hell of a season.
No, he's playing very well. You got to be excited about what he's going to be able to do moving forward.
Absolutely. Leonard Fournette, a little concerned here with that ankle injury. He left this game again with the ankle. 20 carries, 57 yards for Fournette. Chipped in 3 catches for 22 yards.
Yeah.
It's a real concern.
He got you the 16 points or so, I believe it was. But, yeah, this ankle, it's always been a concern. In the leagues I own, it's always been a concern. It's always been in the back of my mind. Kind of was feeling he was getting healthy. But, once again, we got... It's going to be an issue going forward. There's nothing you can do about it.
It is going to be an issue going forward. But the passing game has come alive. I know the matchup was good. But the passing game has come alive for Blake Bortles and the Jaguars. It's Marquise Lee, 7 for 86 and a touchdown. And D.D. Westbrook at 6 for 78. Both these guys getting the job done right now, Corey.
Yeah, no doubt about it. D.D. Westbrook is the thing I wasn't really getting involved with because the offense really didn't dictate it. But now you're starting to see them throw the football more. Blake Bortles has been very efficient. D.D. Westbrook is a guy that you can play going down the stretch.
I think so, too. I think you could do it. Certainly Marquise Lee as well. Marquise Lee, this dude's going to get overlooked, I think, on draft day next year, and he's kind of been overlooked now. 51, 637, and 3. I mean, he's got an outside shot of getting 1,000 yards this year, too.
Yeah, no, and like you say, the next couple of games, Seattle, Houston.
He's got a shot, man. He's got an outside shot.
He's a guy that pretty much will see 10 to 12 targets every week.
Frank Gore officially now has the fifth most rushing yards in NFL history, surpassing LaDainian Tomlinson yesterday. Frank Gore finishes with 13 carries for 61 yards on the day. And passing game-wise, it's amazing, right? Sammy Watkins scores a touchdown against Patrick Peterson. And then against the Jackson 5, Cat Scratch Fever, T.Y. Hilton, 351, and gets in the end zone. Yes, it was a 40-yard touchdown.
Yeah, that was
other than that,
say,
it was 2 for 11.
Exactly.
But can't take it away. It counts.
You can't take it away. And that's what T.Y. Hilton can do. And hopefully T.Y. Hilton either has an Andrew Luck throwing to him or somebody, or he gets traded, which I wouldn't be shocked if the Colts did something like that. Who knows? I don't know what this Colts
The Colts might have to blow this thing up because we don't know the situation with Andrew Luck. If Andrew Luck likely could be headed towards another surgery.
Very, very, very possible. The Colts won't tell you about it either, by the way.
No.
And Ursa's an idiot anyway. So.
That he is. Jack Doyle, I knew it. You said you would be able to rely on it, I think, right? You would trust Jack Doyle.
I would put him in. I mean, if I had Jack Doyle or, say, Ricky Shields-Jones yesterday.
Yeah.
I would
have played Jack Doyle. Yeah, he let you down 3 for 16 yesterday. And I'm still confused. Much like the Giants not playing Davis Webb, I'm still confused why the Colts aren't letting Marlon Mack do his thing.
I think that has to happen now. I mean, they have to say, look,
the offensive line is so banged up, they can't have him back there in pass protection. It's another liability.
That's a good point. 6 for 46 on the ground for Marlon Mack.
But, I mean, is Jacoby Brissett like somebody that can't get beat up? I'm not trying to be mean. It's not like it's Jimmy G.
Listen, he might. I mean, he might be. Andrew Luck's never coming back.
He might be the quarterback next year.
But I mean, look at like Peyton Manning got beat up that first year. He was getting
true.
Sometimes you got to take these beatings, and you know, you grow, you learn. I got to get this. I got to get rid of this.
Right.
Even in defeat, and in, you know, in hard times, can make you a better player.
Miami defeated Denver yesterday 35-9. Adam Gase clearly doesn't like John Elway because he wasn't given that job in Denver. Up like 35-9 doing an onside kick.
Onside kick. Sent the message with that one.
He does.
That definitely
sent
the message.
Adam Gase is not a big fan of John Elway. That is clear. Kenyon Drake, given all the carries, 23 of them, and he produced. 120 yards on the ground and a touchdown. Also contributed 3 for 21 through the passing game. Kenny and Drake, man, New England Monday Night Football. That could be very fun next week.
That is going to be fun next week to see that, to see him get a chance to go after them. So, Kenyon Drake, week 14, he is in your lineup.
So is Kenny Stills. 5 for 98 and a touchdown.
Know,
13 targets for Kenny Stills.
Yeah, I think Kenny Stills has surpassed
Devontae Parker.
Devontae Parker done?
One catch, 5 yards yesterday.
I put Parker back in for the fact that it was Cutler again.
Right.
In a league where we had Antonio Brown, we went with Kenny Stills, who just didn't want... And we had this locked up. It was the Beat Chrysalis League, where we had the...
Where you beat Chrysalis?
We had the most points and the best record, so we beat everybody.
Yeah. 5 for 62 for Jarvis Landry. By the way, week 14, if you're in the playoffs, do not start any player on the Denver Broncos. Not a single player on the Denver Broncos should be starting the playoffs. When we come back... We preview Pittsburgh and Cincinnati with the all-in kid, Jake Seeley, and wrap up the show coming up next.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
Fantasy Sports Radio Network, Roto Experts. Remember, if you're thinking of giving DFS a try, check out Fantasy Factor because it's the perfect daily fantasy site for the casual recreational player. Flatter prize pools, smaller fields, and single entry contests only. Fantasy Factor runs NFL and NBA free rolls each and every week. Free to enter, so sign up today at www.fantasyfactor.com. Also check out rotoexperts.com/DKMS. We have a couple weeks left in our DFS contest where you can play in a free roll up until week 17. Qualify for week 17. You get there. You head to the Super Bowl. Also, remember, rotoexperts.com/DKMS. They tell you what you can do to help those that have blood cancer. You donate some bone marrow. We've talked a lot about it on our station, throughout our platforms, on all our shows, and it's a wonderful cause. So look up more information at rotoexperts.com/DKMS. And with that, we bring in the all-in kid, Jake Seeley. What's going on, Jakey?
That's the best, Greg. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Tonight, you got Pittsburgh and you have Cincinnati. And the big question is, does Antonio Brown play? What do you think?
I have no idea. Just like the people asking me on Twitter. I don't have any clue of whether or not he's playing, but it's the same thing I said yesterday, the same thing you said going into tonight. If you don't have a backup plan, you need to play somebody else. You can't have waited for tonight's game.
So I think it's a tough decision. I had a ton of this on Twitter. I'm sure all of you guys did as well. What do I do with Antonio Brown? And I kind of took the opposite advice, in all honesty, when it came to what Jake gave. I said, because it's Antonio Brown, because it's AB84, the best player in fantasy, I thought you had to give it a shot. I thought you had to go for it tonight with AB. Pick up Brandon LaFell. God forbid if AB didn't play, you had LaFell. That's what I told people to do, including EY.
Nah, I agree. You got it. I'm waiting on Antonio Brown. I'm waiting. You think I'm not going to wait on AB84 in week 13?
That was my philosophy. I know you didn't, Matt. You started Kenny Stills in the league.
I started Kenny Stills in the league. That one we did have locked up. So we had the best record and the most points in that one.
So
but in
good.
A league where I was going for the most points in an online, and I had Antonio Brown, I did not play him. I went with Theo Riddick. Theo Riddick got me to 17.2 points in the PPR. I'm happy with that. And look, Brown can get 30
points. That's a risky thing to do right there.
Where I was thinking about it, and I was talking it over with Chris Chris Vaccaro, is if, say, Brown plays and he's banged up, maybe he gets 15 points. Maybe he doesn't put up, he's put up 40 points the last couple of weeks. If he's injured and not 100% and it's on the road, you know, he might not get that monster game. He still have a good game, but Riddick had the potential as the starter to put up 15 or so points.
Jakey, tonight...
Yeah, I had him at 45 overall.
All right, so you had him at 45 overall this week in the matchup.
Not wide receiver, like overall.
Oh, wow. There you go. Tonight, if you have another option, Joe Mixon, Juju Smith-Schuster. Do you let the score decide what you need? Because I get it, it's AV84, but I'm nervous with this toe injury. What if someone steps on his toe and then he has to leave the game? What if I only need like 3 points, Jake? Do I just take a safer option?
I could definitely see taking the safer option. And that's the situation, like a theoretic, like Matt just said. If you have a theoretic, if you have somebody in tonight's game like Joe Mixon, there's no reason to run the risk.
Oh, man. Corey, could you do that? You need 3-5 points. AB, you have Joe Mixon, you have Antonio Brown. Would you start Joe Mixon if you only need 5 points?
If I only need 5 points, yeah, I could. I don't like Joe Mixon tonight, though.
I'm asking for five.
I think if you needed five, I would do it.
Okay. All right, you would do it. What do you think Brandon LaFell does tonight, Matt?
I don't know. I hope A.J. Green has a hell of a game, though. I need A.J. Green tonight. We have an interesting situation. We're third. We're trying to get second in points. Ben Roethlisberger, Andy Dalton. We got A.J. Green going. Don't know what to do.
Oh, boy. We'll talk about that on the frenzy, I'm sure. For Jake Seeley, the all-in kid. For Corey Parson, the fantasy executive. For Wall Street, Matt Modica. I am Greg Sussman. Thank you so much for listening and watching. Frenzy's up next. I'll see you on the BFFs. And we'll see you tomorrow. Have a good one, everybody. Bye-bye. We'll be right back.